At this time, we're just going to turn to the Word of God. We're going to have two different scripture readings this evening, reading a bit more from the Word of God than perhaps normally we would. At this time, we're going to read from the book of 2 Chronicles, and the chapter 14. We'll read throughout the chapter, and we'll read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15 as well. Then we'll be singing another hymn, and then we'll be reading further in the book of 2 Chronicles. So 2 Chronicles chapter 14, in verse 1 of that chapter, we are introduced to Asa, king of Judah, coming to the throne. If I just could refer you over to chapter 16 and verse 13, just to put it in context, and it says, And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. He was one of those kings who had a long reign over Judah. He was the son of Abijah. He had only had 3 years on the throne, but Asa coming to the throne, he had a long reign ahead of him. So we'll start from verse 1 of chapter 14. And it says, So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, Let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000, and 300 chariots, and came unto Mereshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Mereshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Returning again to the hymn book, hymn 440. Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy gracious aid afford, teach me thy way. And we'll stand again as we sing, please. Portion that we just read, we've read about events in the early years of the reign of Asa. We're going to turn over now to chapter 16, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, towards the end of this long reign of Asa over the land of Judah. Chapter 16 and verse 1. And it says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Leon and Dan, and Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchre, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odours and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. Amen. We'll just seek the Lord again briefly for his blessing upon his word. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the word of God, and we pray now that as we come to consider it, that thou wilt speak thyself, that thou wilt make it a blessing, that thy word will be heard, and Lord, that thou wilt even have that word in season for our hearts. Bless us to that end, we pray. And even, Lord, as we come later to the season of prayer, we look to thee, that thou wilt presence thyself with us, that there will be liberty in the place of prayer. Lord, that thou wilt lead us and guide us, that we might ask aright. And Lord, that thy name will be exalted and glorified as a result of our coming together. For we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now, you will have gathered that the main focus tonight is going to be on the life of this man, Asa. And, of course, we read there at the beginning that he was a man who did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And we saw something of that, particularly as we read through chapter 14. Now, the main focus of what we'll be saying tonight will be on verse 9 of chapter 16. And this is a really tremendous verse, a verse of great encouragement for the people of God. And it says this: for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. What a promise there is. As I said, how reassuring, how comforting that verse is as we read it and as we consider it. We see, especially as we look through it, it starts there with the eyes of the Lord. They run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The Lord is watching over us, watching over his people, and he is proactive. It's clear from the verse that it's not a matter that he is there in the background and that we can approach him and seek him and seek his help, but rather the Lord is proactive in looking out for his people. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That's a tremendous verse. When we face adversity, the Lord knows all about us, about it. He's watching out for us. He stands ready to come to our aid. And what a wonderfully reassuring and comforting verse of Scripture this is. And if you were to take nothing else away from this meeting this evening, if you were to commit this verse to memory and were to take it with you throughout life as part of your armoury against the attacks of the devil and the adversities of life, then I believe that alone would be a great blessing to you. It's a verse that I believe that we should keep before us and keep returning to and keep looking to as we travel through life. You know, if we look at the end of this promise, it is evident that there's only one limiting factor upon this promise. That is that our hearts must be in tune with the Lord in order to experience its protection and experience its blessing upon our lives. In the case of Asa, in the two readings that we had, we have read of two incidents where Judah was under serious threat. On the first of these, in chapter 14, we see an example of the provisions of chapter 16, verse 9 that we've been looking at in operation. That is brought to our attention, in verse 8 of chapter 16. And verse 8 there says, when the Hanani, the prophet, has come to confront Asa, he says, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand." And we want to look back just for a moment or two and focus on this event that is brought to our attention there again in that verse 8. If we look back to chapter 14, we see that in the early verses of that chapter, it lists all the actions that Asa took to turn the people away from the worship of false gods and to turn their hearts back to the living and the true God. Asa came to the throne as a reformer. He wanted to bring reformation to the land of Judah. Things spiritually had been in decline, and we see in those early verses how that the worship of false gods had taken hold, and to a large extent the Jehovah, the worship of the true God, was put to the side. And if we just read from verses 2 down to verses 5, we'll see something of the action which Asa took to try and turn the situation around. It says that Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images and cut down the groves. That gives us some insight into the state spiritually of the people of Judah at this particular time. All of these altars and high places and images had been set up in place of worshipping God in the way that he had commanded. So Asa, he set about tearing them down, cutting down the groves, taking away these false places of worship. And verse 4, "And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him." We read at the beginning that God had given him rest and quiet for 10 years at the beginning of his reign. And Asa sat about this reformation that he had in hand, and he set about seeking to turn the hearts of the people away from falsehood and back to worship the Lord. And not only that, but in verses 6 and 7, we see that he built fence cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build those cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, which the land, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. So we not only set about that spiritual reformation, but as a good leader and as a good king, he set about fortifying the land and setting up these cities, these fortifications to secure the nation during these years of peace and quiet that God had given. And not only that, but then in verse 8, and Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. So Asa didn't sit back on his laurels, as it were, during these years when the land was peaceful and quiet. No, he put in place preparations. He not only sought to restore the land spiritually, he sought to fortify it against future attack, and also he sought to set up and establish a mighty army for its protection. And we see here that he had 300,000 men out of Judah, 280,000 out of Benjamin. So an army of 580,000 in total. So he was a man who was achieving and accomplishing much in the early years of his reign. But of course, those 10 years of peace and quiet came to an end. And we start to see that happen in verse 9. And this is bringing us to this first incident that we want to look at, that which is referred to over there in verse 8, when Hanani came and rebuked Asa. He pointed to the fact that even though the Ethiopians were a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen, that the Lord destroyed them because Asa had put his faith and trust in him. And verse 9 tells us, and there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and he came to Marashah. Now, 1,000,000, a million strong force of well-trained and well-equipped men. Asa had 580,000, which was a strong army, but he was well outnumbered when Zerah the Ethiopian brought his host up against Judah. But we see that Asa wasn't alarmed really by it at all, because in verse 10 it says, and Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marashah. And here verse 11 is perhaps the key verse in all of this, and it says, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. We see that in this situation, the first thing that Asa did as he started to prepare for the battle was that he looked to the Lord and he cried to the Lord, and he brought the situation before the Lord. And we see something as we read through that verse 11 of the faith and the confidence that Asa had in the Lord, because he said, Lord, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Lord, this is nothing to you. He had that confidence in the Lord. And it is, I believe, it reveals to us just how Asa walked with the Lord. That relationship that he had with the Lord at this time in his life. He had such faith and confidence that even facing up to that million-strong army that had come up against them, he wasn't dismayed by it because he knew that the Lord was able to undertake and that the Lord was able to help. And he says, not only that, but, O Lord our God, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. Asa, whilst he led the forces and led his army out against this army of Ethiopians, yet he did so in the name of the Lord. He knew that the Lord was with him, and that gave him confidence, and that gave him the courage to go forth with no fear as he entered into that. But not only that, but we see at the very end of verse 11 where he says, let not man prevail against thee. Asa was jealous for the name of the Lord. He didn't want to see the Lord's name brought down. And he realized that if he went forth with the Lord with him and fought the battle and the Lord gave the victory, then that would bring honor and that would bring glory to the Lord. And that was one of his concerns. And so we see that his heart was certainly right before the Lord as he led his people and as he led this group. And we see the outcome in verse 12. It says, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So a great victory was given at that time, and we saw how he pursued them and how he they were totally overthrown and they couldn't recover, and how he destroyed them before the Lord. And how they carried away much spoil, and they smote some of those cities round about Gerar where these people had fled to, and there was a great victory, and the Ethiopians were vanquished. And so we see the extent of Asa's faith in God. And I believe, as we read verse 11 there, this was perhaps Asa's finest hour in all of his reign, and it resulted in a great victory. But then when we came over into verse chapter 16, we saw that whenever the prophet Hanani came and spoke to and rebuked Asa at this later stage in his life, that he contrasts the reaction that Asa had over in dealing with the Ethiopians, and he contrasts that with what we read whenever Baasha, the king of Israel came up against Judah. And we see quite a different reaction at that thing. As we come into chapter 16, we see there's a timeline given to us there. We're now in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. Now, in the incident we read earlier, some perhaps around about 25 years had passed in the interim. And now Asa, he has been on the throne for 36 years. We looked earlier and saw that he reigned for 41 years, so he was coming towards the end of his reign. And at this time, another crisis arose in the land of Judah. And that was because of the siege that the king of Israel sought to set up against Israel. And it says that Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah. And he built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Baasha was planning to wage war on Judah, and he established this city, or was in the course of establishing it, in order to cut off Judah and Israel, to cut it off from its main supply route. If you look at a map of the land of Judah at that time, you would see that its main supply route was came in from the north. If you look at the east, the boundary to the east of Judah was the Dead Sea. That cut off that area. On the west, you had the Mediterranean. And then on the south, it was mainly desert area. So the main route, the main supply route, and the main route for trade and traffic in and out of Judah was from the north. And we see that Baasha, he built this city right at the point where he could take control of that supply route and in a way lay siege to the land of Judah, that he would might let none out go out or none come into Judah. It would appear that this was intended to weaken Judah as a precursor to an attack upon it. But what we're mainly interested in is the reaction that Asa showed to this latest crisis. And we see that in verse 2. It says, "Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And we can see right away the difference in the reaction that Asa had to this crisis compared to that that we read of in chapter 14. Back there, his only thought was to take the matter to the Lord, to cry to the Lord, to seek for his help, to seek for his blessing. This time, Asa didn't mention the Lord at all. And that's in stark contrast to what had happened earlier. His first thought was to go to the king of Syria, to hire him to come in and give him help and to give him support. And his response was very, very different from what it had been on the earlier occasion. This time, he was looking to the arm of the flesh. There was no mention of looking to the Lord or crying unto him. And yet, despite that, Baasha's threat against Judah failed. And we saw how that whenever the king of Syria started to attack him, he left off building Ramah. He gave up on that project, and he didn't carry on with it. But as a result of that, the Lord was displeased with Asa. And we saw how he raised up Hanani, the prophet, to rebuke him. There was no intervening on Asa's behalf at this time. Asa hadn't sought the Lord's help or the Lord's blessing. The Word of God tells us to ask and ye shall receive. But Asa didn't ask and he didn't receive. And I think that reveals something about his spiritual standing at this particular time in his life. He hadn't that same close relationship with the Lord. The Lord didn't seem to be first in his life at this particular time. We might ask, what had gone wrong in Asa's life? Had he totally turned his back on God? Well, no, not according to chapter 15 and the verse 17, because there it tells us, "But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days." Asa hadn't totally turned his back upon the Lord. He still held, I believe, the same principles that he always had. He still believed in Jehovah as the only God. He was still opposed to the worship of false gods. He still held the same core beliefs, but he had somehow lost out on that close fellowship and communion with God that he had enjoyed in the earlier part of his reign. You know, that should serve as a warning to us all. It is possible to be sound doctrinally, to be orthodox in our beliefs, and to uphold the fundamentals of the faith, and still grow cold at heart, and lose that close daily fellowship and communion with the Lord. And sadly, that seems to have been the case in the latter stages of Asa's life. Yes, he still would have said that he believed in Jehovah. He still believed in the principles of not worshipping false gods. He still had that same outlook, but something had happened in his personal relationship and in his personal communion with the Lord. You know, that's something we all have to guard against. Here was a man who was getting towards the end of his life, who had done much for the Lord in terms of turning the land of Judah away from his idolatry and turning it back to worship the Lord. But yet, over time, he seems to have missed out on that relationship, that close daily fellowship with the Lord. And he got his focus off looking to the Lord in every trial and in every difficulty. I suppose maybe people of my era, maybe that's a warning to us, even getting on in life. We've still got to be careful that we don't lose out with the Lord. Don't rely on past experiences and what we did for God in the past. But we need to maintain that fellowship and relationship with the Lord. if we're to enjoy his blessing on our lives. And that comes as a challenge to us. But you know, I suppose as a footnote to what we've been considering, we look at the last verses of chapter 16, and it's sad to note that Asa didn't take heed to the rebuke that the Lord brought through the prophet. If we look at verse 10, it says, "Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, and he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time." So instead of humbling himself and seeking the Lord afresh in his life, Asa got into a rage about it. And he didn't give heed to the rebuke that the prophet brought to him. And that continued throughout the last years of his life. If we look at verse 12, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians." So again, even in this matter, Asa wasn't first of all seeking the Lord. He was seeking and looking for the help of man. And whilst we don't decry the physicians, and we don't turn our back on the facilities that there are in this day and age of ours for healthcare and for treatment and things like that, no, we ought to make the most of those things. But even in that situation of disease and ill health, our first thought and our first concern and our first cry ought to be unto the Lord. And our main focus should be on earnestly seeking the Lord, even on matters such as that. So, to sum up, I suppose, Asa was a great king. He was a man who sought to restore Israel from his backsliding. He was a man who was close to the Lord and did many good things as king of Israel. But yet, sadly, towards the end, it would appear that his relationship with the Lord wasn't what it had been in his youth and in his earlier days. And of course, the Word of God records these things for our instruction. They're there so that we ought to learn from the mistakes that others have made. And we ought not to think that we couldn't fall in the way that Asa did. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we have that verse, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And that's the thought I want to leave with us tonight as we just come to this conclusion. Yes, it's good to look at the life of Asa. It's good to look at the things and the what he achieved in his early years. But there is as well that lesson for us as it comes to the end of his life. And that warning that is there for us, that we ought to seek in our own lives to ensure that we don't fall into the same trap that Asa would seem to have fallen into. And that we do constantly seek to follow the Lord and ensure that our hearts don't grow cold or careless about the things of God, but that we remain steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. May the Lord bless even his word. And do remember that verse 9, and take it with you, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Amen. Now we're going to come to our time of prayer and seek the Lord. Do remember